Set my heart, O dear Father, on thee and thee only. Give me a thirst for thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving thee wholly. Purge me from earth, turn my heart after thee. To love thee with all of my heart. Father, fill with thy spirit and fit me for service. Let love for Christ every motive inspire. Teach me to follow in selfless submission. Soul's one desire, a passion for thee, O Lord, set my heart in my soul, and a thirst for my God. Hear thou my prayer, Lord, thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love thee with all of my heart.
All right, thank you, men. If you will turn in your Bibles now to Psalm number 62. Tonight we're looking at God is our all in all. And we just sang a song about He is all I need. And as we look at these three psalms tonight, we're going to look at our relationships to the Lord and also the battles and struggles that we have. And as we look at these three psalms and we see how we go through the battles and struggles we have, we're going to see, first of all, how we can learn from God through these battles we have. And then David talks about a yearning for God through all the struggles we have. And then when we have them, we are turning to God. So each one of these psalms we'll see that God is our all in all. Everything we need, we find it in God. And we have things that come into our lives that we don't usually know what's going to come, you know. And sometimes there are things that we wish hadn't come, you know, but God gives us those things, and whenever they do, we can learn from them. So let's look first of all at Psalm number 62, and here we can learn how God fights His battles, because God has battles too. And in the battles that God has, we can see His strategy. In Psalm number 62, verse 1, it says, "Truly, my soul waits upon God. From Him cometh my salvation." And one of God's strategies is to wait. We're not too good at waiting, but God is able to wait. You know, God is not restricted by time. So when we think about God waiting for something to be, it doesn't affect Him at all. But for us, sometimes we have to wait. And that's a strategy that God uses, and so we learn from that. As much as most of us, I can certainly speak for myself, I don't like to wait. When I know I want something, I'm ready to go somewhere to do something, I want to do it now, and I don't want to wait. And so God will sometimes have us to wait on Him. Then we come to the next verse. It says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He says, God is my rock and my salvation. And so when we think about the battles that God faces, he has a strategy which oftentimes includes waiting, but he is always a winner. There's salvation of the Lord. He is my salvation. I'll not be moved there. Aren't you glad that our, and I say this reverently, our commander-in-chief, our captain, the captain of our faith, he never loses. And so when we are going through battles, he is with us, and he never loses there. Now, there are some that do lose. You see that in verses 3 and 4. Those that are slain is the word that's used. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, as a tottering fence. Can you think of, try to picture in your mind a wall that maybe whenever they were erecting this wall, they didn't quite plumb it just right, and it's starting to lean. You know, and if you're off just a little bit when you are starting the foundation of it, and if you're off just a little bit, and as it starts to get up, it's leaning that way, it doesn't take a whole lot just to push it over there. And here, those that are enemies of God, they're like that. And so God has the victory, and they're easy victories for him. You know, it's easy for him to win the victory. Verse 4 says, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. And so those are those that are enemies of God who are our enemies as well, but God will give us the victory there whenever we're going through battles. But even through times of battles and struggles, we always have God's blessings. God loves to bless his people. And in verses 5 through 8, we see that he blesses us at all times. You'll see that phrase in verse 8 of Psalm number 62. Through all times, we have God's blessings. Sometimes we may not recognize them as blessings whenever they come, but God gives blessings during times of battle. In verse 6, we see he is our rock and salvation. He's our defense. I shall not be moved. And so through all times when struggles and battles come, we have stability. When the storms of adversity come, when the winds blow and we just feel like we're just going to be blown away with all the sorrows we have, God sends blessings and he gives stability. In verse 7, he not only gives stability, he gives strength. It says that in God is my salvation and my glory, and the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And so when the enemy seems bigger than I am, or whenever the circumstances and the problems that I face seem too big for me, the psalmist says, he's my rock, he's my strength. It doesn't matter if the problems are bigger than I am, because they're not bigger than my God. And my God will give me blessings even during times of battle. And verse 8, not only through times of storm and winds, he gives stability and he gives strength. We also see he is our shelter in verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He's a shelter. Whenever we're overwhelmed by all the things that come our way, God says, I want you to pour out your heart to me. You ever do that? You just go to God and just pour out your heart and just tell him all that's on your mind and all that's in your heart. And because as we go through these things, these battles that we face, God has something for us to learn. And so we see from Psalm 62 that we're learning from God as we go through these battles, and he has blessings interspersed through there so that we can learn more of him. But not only do we see his blessings through all times, we also see his blessings through all kinds of things that we face, from people of low degree, people of high degree. It says, surely men of low degree are vanity. Men of high degree are a lie. to be laid in the balance. They're altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. So in oppression, if that comes, if riches come, he says, don't trust in those things, but rather through all different times in life, through all kinds of things and all kinds of people that come, he says, look for God's blessings. It's a battle, but God is there with us to fight them for us. Now, in verses 11 and 12, we see two things that belong to God. We use that phrase sometimes, get your belongings together. And here in these two verses, we see two things that belong to God. We see, first of all, might and mercy belong to God. In verse 11, it says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power, that is might, belongs to the Lord. We see movies of science fiction of things like Superman and the might that he has, or I remember as a child, I don't know if they make this cartoon or not, but any of you remember Mighty Mouse? yeah, Brother Ray, yeah, several of you remember Mighty Mouse. You know, well, he was a mouse, but man, he had superhuman strength like Superman as well there. And so the might that is there, whenever we think about God's might and power, there are two things that the Bible speaks of, more than that, but two I'll share with you tonight. His name. Listen to his name from Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, mighty tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. So we see might in the power of the name of Jesus. But not only do we see might, but we also see guidance in Exodus 15:13. Thou in thy mercy has led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. And so here we see one of the things that belongs to God is might. We don't have the might to go through these struggles and battles that we have, but we have a direct tap into the source of might that we need, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because that's the source of our might. But verse 12 talks about his mercy. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. The word mercy is that wonderful word, loving kindness. And when you look at these two things that belong to the Lord, might or power and mercy, if someone is going to grant mercy, he has to have the authority or the power to do that. And God is so powerful, and he grants to us mercy. And many weeks to come, when we get to Psalm 136, you're familiar with the psalm, because it says, his mercy endureth forever. 26 times that phrase is there. And so when we see these two terms together, his power and his mercy, God has power to destroy the enemy. He has power to destroy whomever he wishes to destroy. But he also has the authority to grant mercy there. Notice at the end of the psalm, it says that God renders to every man according to his work. That is what I do. God renders to every man according to his works. And whenever we fail to do the work that we should be doing, he grants us mercy. And so God owns mercy, and he gives it to those who look to him for mercy. So in time of battle, we want to learn from God. How does he fight his battles? And we learn to fight like the Lord fights. Now we come to Psalm number 63, and David has a yearning for God. He longs to know more about God. His soul is searching for God. In verse 1, he says, O God, thou art my God. Notice the personal pronoun. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And so he says, I'll seek you early. And when we think about that, there are two thoughts that go with that. We want to seek God early in the morning, but we also want to seek him early in our lives. When we're children, we want to seek the Lord and get saved early in life so that we have our entire lives to live for the Lord. And he's comparing this to water falling on dry ground. And the ground is so dry, and as soon as it hits, it is just soaking it in there. And water refreshes, and it revives, and it soothes. And God's word is called the water of his word. And so David is saying, I just want to know you more, Lord. I'm learning from you, but also I'm yearning for you to know God as a person. Notice he says, I long for thee. But not only does he want to know God as a person, he wants to know God in his power. It says to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary there. And God has power and glory. David says, God, I want to get to know you as a person. I long to know you better. And this is how we know God, isn't it? Through his word. God's word revealed to us is how we get to know God. But also, in the Bible, the word know has the idea of experience. Not just knowing something intellectually, but experiencing it. And he is saying, God, I want to experience more of your love and your power and your glory there. And we all, if we've been saved, we have had what we call a personal experience of salvation. When we came to know God, that was an experience. Remember the experience that Paul had on the road to Damascus there, and his life was changed. We also have had experiences of answers to prayer, haven't we? We prayed, and God has intervened for us, and he has answered our prayer, and we can share those experiences with others. We've had times where we needed peace and comfort, and we asked God, and he gave us a peace that passes all understanding. And so David is saying, God, I want to know you, and I want to see your power like I've seen it in the sanctuary, the very dwelling place of God there. And so he's searching out for God, and he says, early will I seek thee. Well, not only do we see his searches for God, but we also see his songs of satisfaction. He's satisfied. And so he has learned from God how to fight the battles. Now he's yearning for God that he could know him more through all of the battles. And in verse 3, he says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. Should have chosen that song tonight. I don't know if you know that song or not. Wonderful song taken from this psalm. Songs of satisfaction. My lips shall praise thee. And whenever we're going through trials and struggles, we can still praise God. We can still have a song of praise, but it's not just enough to have it from our lips. Verse 4 says, I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands. So through my life as well, while I'm living, I want to have a life of service. I want to sing praises, songs of satisfaction, because you have given me the victory. I have gotten to know you more, and I want to get to know you more. And I want to see your power like I've seen it in the sanctuary there. But then he comes to verses 5 and 6. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And so he begins the psalm by saying, early will I seek the Lord. And then now he goes on and says, I'm going to have some late thoughts of God too. I'm going to meditate when I'm in my bed at night through the night watches. And so we think about God in the morning. And sometimes people say to you, should you have your devotions in the morning? Should you have them in the evening? One person I was reading just last week said it depends on, if you're going to choose one of those two, when are you at your best, in the morning or the evening? That's when you ought to have your devotions. For me, it's the morning. I'm at my best more in the mornings, certainly, than I am in the evenings. I fall asleep too quickly in the evenings there. But for David, he's seeking the Lord early. But then at night, his thoughts are still on the Lord. And so it's not an either or. We should constantly be thinking of the Lord and yearning for him, even as David was there, beginning and ending our day searching for God. But as we go through the battles may not always be people. We see that God will silence the sinners there through our times of struggles. In verse 7 of Psalm 63, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice there." There's where we find God's love and protection. Verse 8 says, "My soul followeth hard after thee." I like that phrase. Follow hard after thee. Thy right hand upholds me. And so we need to be following hard after God. We need to be pursuing him and pursuing holiness there. Verse 9. "But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped there." And so we see that the mouth of those that oppose us, God's going to stop their mouths. God is going to be victorious. He will not be defeated. And since we are his, we're not going to be defeated either. And so he silences the sinners as we are under his shadow, and also as we are upheld by his son. And you see that in the phrase right hand. We won't take the time to go through that in verse 8. "Thy right hand upholdeth me." Maybe one of these days we'll do that study where we look and see where the right hand or the right arm in the Bible refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he indeed is the one that upholds us and helps us through times of battle, so that we learn from God and then we have this yearning to know him better even through times of struggles there. Now we come to Psalm number 64 and we'll see our turning to God. And here we see a prayer for deliverance. He starts out Psalm 64 when he says, "Hear my prayer, O God. In my prayer, preserve my life from fear of the enemy." And so here we have a prayer for preservation. He says, "Save my life. These enemies are all around me." And sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, the enemy may not be a person. Satan is always our enemy. But sometimes the things that we fight are not people. They're circumstances. And so, and sometimes they're people and words and rumors and all of these things that we hear. And so David prays and he says, "Hear my voice in my prayer. Preserve my life." And then verse 2, he says, "Hide me." Hide me from what? "From the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue." That is, they sharpen their tongue like you would sharpen a sword. Can you use your imagination? And I know for men who've been to a barber, maybe you've seen the barber as he would take out his thing there and he would have the razor, you know, and he would wet that thing and sharpen that thing, getting ready there. And the picture is people taking their tongue and sharpening their tongue because they plan to use it as a weapon. And the tongue can be a powerful weapon, can it? Here in verse 3, they sharpen it so they can use it to cut people down and to pierce through people here. And the tongue is very powerful. And David is praying that God would preserve him because he has become a target. They've whet their tongues like a sword. They've sharpened the arrows. And he says, I feel like I am the target of their tongue, and they're trying to cut me to pieces with their bitter words, is a phrase that's used in verse 3 here. And whenever you taste something that's bitter, I mean, your immediate reaction is to spit it out, isn't it? My mom and dad have 9 pecan trees in their yard, and so we grew up eating pecans, and in the middle of the, whenever you crack them open, and right in the middle between the two halves, what's that little piece called that you don't want to eat? It's called the bitter, isn't it? Well, at least that's what we called it. I don't know if that's the technical name, but the pecan is good. But that little piece in the middle, you don't want to eat that because you'll spit it out immediately there. And so words can be very bitter. Attitudes can be bitter. And bitter attitudes will bring forth bitter words and hurtful actions that are full of bitterness as well. And David says, I feel like I'm just a target. There's a bullseye on me where people are whetting their tongues to speak evil against me. And he says, God, I'm going to turn to you. I can't stop all those words. I can't stop what they're doing. So God, I'm going to turn to you for help there. And then we see that they are laying snares for him. David was at battle. He said in verse 5, they encouraged themselves. Now, we think about doing that, encourage one another. But notice how they're encouraging each other. They encouraged themselves in an evil matter. In other words, they're gaining numbers against me. They commune of laying snares privily. They're getting together privately, and they say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities there. And that is, they're digging up dirt on God's people. That's what politicians do, isn't it? It seems like they must have somebody on their staff, and that's their official job. When people run for office, we're going to look in your background and see all the terrible things you've done, and we're going to bring it to light. David says they're searching out iniquities. They're trying their best to find out anything bad against me. They're whetting their tongue, and they want to destroy me there. They have these schemes against me. What am I going to do? Then we see in verse 7, as we get to the end of the psalm, we see that not only do our enemies, whether they be people, the devil, or circumstances, they shoot at us and they have weapons against us, but we see God has a weapon as well. And we see the accuracy of his arsenal. God is very accurate. And notice in verse 7, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. You catch the plural and the singular there? God is shooting at them with an arrow. God has one arrow. And all of these enemies who are whetting their tongues and their swords and their spears and they're doing all of this opposition, God has an arrow. And we think about the Word of God and how when the Lord Jesus comes again and how we see the sword of the Word of God and it is sharp there. And God has an arrow and he directs that arrow and he is so accurate with what he does. And we see here that those that oppose God are fallen in verse 8. So shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. Now this is the principle of reaping and sowing, isn't it? Here they have taken their tongues like a sword and they've sharpened it to be able to destroy, and the very thing that they're using to destroy David and us as believers, it's going to come back to haunt them. Reaping and sowing is a wonderful principle of Scripture. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we also know that whenever a person sow something, if you sow one or two butter beans into the ground, you're going to get more than just one or two. You're going to get a bush of butter beans there, and it's going to multiply. And so whatever we sow, we're going to get the same thing. But not only are we going to get the same thing that we sow, we're going to get it in greater number as well. And so these that whet their tongues, these that are our enemies, and they do all they can to shoot their words at us like arrows to pierce us through, to destroy us, God's going to turn the tables on them. And it says, verse 7, God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. The very thing that they're aiming to do to us. And so, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. That's why whenever we as believers are attacked, whether we think it's on purpose, whether it's from someone who's called a Christian or not, or whether it's just circumstances that are coming, we just have to turn to God and look to God to take care of these things, because He will right all of these things. And the principle of reaping and sowing, if I sow seeds of righteousness and doing what's right, God will honor that. And I don't need to respond like those that are sharpening their tongues to shoot at me. Also, verse 8 says, they will be fleeing. So shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. Notice again what they were doing in verse 5. They were encouraging themselves. They were coming together to encourage each other to do wrong and to attack God's man. And now they're fleeing. They don't want anything to do with that, because the Lord is taking care of that. The Lord never flees us, does He? Whenever we are going through trials and struggles and battles and people are attacking us with words, and they hurt because we saw that they've been whetted like a sword, like a spear, and they pierce through us, what do? We turn to God, and He will never leave us. These friends were not faithful friends, were they? Not faithful at all. They were encouraging one another to do evil, and as soon as the tables were turned on them, they're getting out of there. Aren't you thankful for faithful friends? Friends that will stand by you no matter what happens. Well, the Lord is that friend. The Lord stands by us no matter what happens there. And so whenever there are schemes to try to snare us together, or whatever people are shooting their arrows at us, we look to God, and He has an arrow, which is His word. And that's what we use as well. Well, we see also the fearful. When God is at battle, people ought to fear. Verse 9, all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of His doing. One of these days, notice this verse says, all men will declare the work of God. I was thinking about what Brother Cole said this morning about creationism. You know, how they ask him, you're not a creationist, are you? Well, one of these days, everybody is going to be a creationist. They're going to believe. It's going to be too late. They're not going to be saved because of it. One of these days, everyone is going to be pro-life, you know, but it's going to be too late. All will one day declare the work of God. Aren't you glad you're able to do it now when it brings glory to God? One day, every knee is going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That doesn't mean they're going to be saved. One day, all men will fear the Lord and declare His work. Then we come to verse 10, and we see whenever the Lord is fighting our battles for us, and we turn to the Lord, and the Lord is in control of the battle, we see what happens to all of the enemies, but we also see what happens to the faithful. And the faithful, we see them trusting in the Lord and being glad. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in Him. and all the upright in heart shall glory. Even though we're going through battles and struggles and people are whetting their tongue to hurt us, intentionally or not, what is our response? To grumble and complain and fuss? No, it says here, the righteous will be glad in the Lord, because we know that God is fighting our battles for us. And so we don't need to grumble and complain, because as we looked at these three Psalms, we've seen that we want, in our battles, we want to be learning from God, and in our battles, we want to be yearning more to know Him and His power, and then we want to be turning to Him and let Him fight the battles for us. Title of the message was, God is our all in all. And I've asked John to lead us in a hymn of invitation that He is all I need. And it's not in your hymn book, but we'll have it on the screen. So let's pray, and then we'll sing the three stanzas of He is all I need. Father, we thank You that when we're going through times of struggle, battles, circumstances, attacks from others, Lord, when we feel like many are whetting their tongues against us and they are gathering themselves to encourage one another against us, Lord, help us to learn from You how to be victorious and win the battles. Help us to learn to wait when we need to wait. Help us to have that yearning for You early every morning, and in the late evenings, in the night watches, that we would still be yearning for You from morning to evening, that we are knowing You better, and we also are seeing Your power and glory demonstrated in our lives in the way that we respond to all the battles we face. And help us to learn to turn to You to fight our battles for us. Help us not to fight our battles in the flesh, but to allow You to work in and through us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.